Welcome back to the Traders Point Podcast Show. This is our second mini episode for the summer where we took the questions that you all asked through Ask TPCC and are answering them throughout the summer. Today, I get to sit down with our worship pastor, John Staub, to talk about the question, how do you plan worship services? John takes it a little bit higher level, though, and first answers the questions of what does a gathering look like and what is worship? I can't wait for you to hear his content, as it's really, really good and I think will help inform the way that you approach the weekend worship service. Also, make sure you stick around to the very end of the episode where John debuts an original song, Only Jesus. It's really good stuff, and we're going to be singing it together in July, so you won't want to miss it. All right, welcome back. We're doing our second mini episode today, and I'm sitting down with our worship pastor, John Staub. Hey, John.
What is up, Anne? How are you?
Great. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Yes.
Good. Well, today we're going to talk a little bit about worship, and we've been getting a lot of questions in about all different kinds of stuff as it relates to worship. But before we get into that, John, I would love to hear from you. What are you up to this summer? Anything exciting going on in the Staub family?
Well, I'm not going to Rome. very happy Aaron got to do that. Not going to lie. At least between the two of us, one of us got to do it,
yes.
Right?
Yep.
So I'm going to celebrate with those who celebrate. Mm-hmm. Not going to Rome. I have a 2-year-old and a 1-year-old.
You're not taking them over to Rome?
No.
No.
No. So I mean, it's, you know, just kind of boring, honestly. And boring is fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hanging out with them as much as possible. They're interacting. So we do. We play with toys a lot. I mean, playing with little ponies and princesses and all this kind of stuff. Literally, that's what I was on the floor doing this morning before I came here. But
that's awesome.
Yeah, nothing too, too special. We're going to get away some local places, but nothing, you know, that's going to be monumental other than just loving on my girls and everything. That'll be really fun as they're growing up. They love being outside, so... but yeah, I think as a church, as far as what I get to do, there are some noteworthy things. Yesterday, we got to worship as a group. So our all staff, about what's there, like 60 or something like that?
I don't know.
About 60 of us were downtown at our downtown permanent location and had the absolute privilege of leading worship. I will never forget those moments.
Mm-hmm.
We had some time of singing together and then some time of just praying over the city and then some time of just really seeking Jesus ourselves and realizing, you know, as we have stepped out north and then gathering up there, that was so fun when we did the wall-breaking ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
And then now being able to be at the downtown campus, it's to see what God's doing is unreal.
Yeah.
Having grown up across the street from a cornfield and then now knowing that I have the privilege of being able to lead worship at a downtown campus is so great.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And it's all better coffee downtown for sure.
No offense to the others, but urban people just know.
Most definitely.
Right?
I don't know if I'm allowed to push any particular brands.
No,
but there
probably
are some,
not.
Yeah, we but can't yeah. do that. But
we love all of you.
Yes, we love all of them. But for sure, the downtown ones are better than the suburbians. Most definitely.
Yeah.
I have to say that.
Yeah, it's true.
And I also am trying to never use a GPS when I drive downtown. Trying to memorize street names.
Okay.
Use my car's compass.
And your brain.
Do you know what a compass is?
Yes.
Okay.
We're the same age.
I know, but...
Grandpa John, do you know what a compass is?
Well, okay, so a compass to me is something that says NSNWE, but it doesn't like, it's not a dial or whatever.
Right.
Watch.
But so you're just using your brain
and
compass. Yeah,
so I can get to the downtown campus without a GPS, so that, hey. I feel huge. And my favorite coffee shops that will go nameless.
Kicking it 1999.
Most definitely.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And I'm writing, you know, something that I'm doing new is I'm writing physical paper and pens. It's dynamically impacting my creativity, honestly.
Yes.
And retention for my memory.
That's awesome.
I'm a nerd.
I can totally see that.
Yeah.
I love it. So let's dive into questions for today.
Yes.
You ready?
Most definitely.
Great. So we've been getting a lot of questions about worship. So I know there's probably a way that we could bring these into one question, but I'm just going to list off a few of them. Some of the ones that have been the most popular. How do you go about designing a service? How do you pick out songs every weekend?
Mm-hmm.
And how do you make sure that people don't have the same experience every weekend? So talk to us a little bit about about worship.
Yeah, those are, they're really fantastic. I get asked those questions regularly by people that maybe it's their first time, maybe mm-hmm. they've been here a long time, staff members, volunteers. It's this kind of like magical idea, like how does it all happen? And
there's
not a curtain. So what I like to do in general with very detailed questions like that, before we can ever get into the details, you have to determine the purpose of something mm-hmm. in order to determine its function, kind of vision over function. And I also think that if you allow the function of something to kind of supersede the vision of something, that is when your mission will slowly start to fade away, your mission will eventually die. So we have to look at the overall purpose of what is something before you get into a detail. Mm-hmm. Maybe another way of saying this would be clarify the why. Mm-hmm. Why are we doing this? So I would boil down those kind of detail questions into two big questions that I probably would like to answer. The first one is, what is our gathering? Kind of as, you know, a body of Christ. And then, what is worship? Mm. That actually is going to play a pretty big role in answering those very detailed questions. Because, yeah. I mean, I can go into, like, how do you pick songs and all that, and I would love to answer a little bit more on that. But I think it's much more important that we go
big first.
In the right direction, and then we're going to be able to get function when vision is primary. So
yeah, so break those down for me. What is
Okay, so what is our gathering, and then what is worship? So let's start with what is our gathering. That's a little more detail-y, and for those of you that are listening, you're probably going to see how much of a nerd I actually am. But what I would like to speak to most people is, I don't have all the content that I would like to share and answers behind this question because I just am trying to prove something. I am one of the biggest skeptics that I know. And most people would not assume that because I'm very enthusiastic. I'm passionate. I believe in what I'm doing and what I'm part of. But that's because I know that it's the truth because I've broken it down. And so hopefully I can give a little bit of a background as far as why I can put my full self, mm-hmm. and I can get enthusiastic even though I am a skeptic. Mm-hmm. I think that there's great truth that we can find in the scripture. So what is our gathering? We're going to have to ask two questions. First is, what is the purpose? And then what is the precedence biblically?
Okay.
We cannot be doing stuff that there is not a general biblical precedence, or at least the principle of that, of why we've gathered. So in the book of Acts is kind of when we see this post-ministry of Jesus gathering of the church, and we observe two types of gatherings. We see large gatherings, and we see small gatherings. So there's a small gathering on Pentecost. We see the church, and it's all insiders, and the Holy Spirit does a great work there. And then immediately from that small gathering, they go out in public, and then they have a public gathering. So Acts 2 is when we see the Apostle Peter give his very first public sermon. There were thousands of people there. Specifically, there were Acts 2, chapter 2, verse 41 talks about how there were at least like 3,000 people got saved. So, and it doesn't say everyone got saved. So that mm-hmm. means there were even more than 3,000 people in mm-hmm. one spot. So to contextualize that for us, at our Northwest campus, we have a big auditorium. It seats, I don't know, like 2,400 or something. Mm-hmm. So more people got saved than we can even fit in our gathering space. And that's how many people were at this gathering, or maybe this church service mm-hmm. that we call it now. But then again, so Acts 2:46 talks about how they were meeting in homes and they were meeting publicly. So understanding that homes for that time period. Okay, so as a Western, someone in Western culture, mm-hmm. we think of a home being, 4 to crazy people, maybe like 10. Like one of the guys I work with has 7 kids, and he's amazing. And so 9 people at that house. And we think that's a lot. But in this age, I mean, it was upwards of like 100 people would be in a gathering at home. So we see anywhere from very small groups of maybe, you know, a couple dozen to then 100 smaller groups that were maybe insiders and mm-hmm. then intentional public gatherings mm-hmm. back and forth. And so.
So would you compare that to what a life group is here?
I would,
and then
yes.
a public, yeah.
If
okay.
you contextualize that, I would say our public gatherings mm-hmm. are the ones that the public can come to. Mm-hmm. And then our private gatherings are ones that, unless they're just like listening to you guys at Starbucks or whatever,
right.
you know, and trying to chime in.
The purpose
in.
Is different.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. It's just about, hey, we're going to focus on each other, or we're going to focus on, you know, making it accessible. So then I think the next question after like gathering, like what's the metrics behind the gathering is what is being communicated. That's huge because there is a number of things that we can communicate, but what is the precedence and the purpose of that gathering? So I'm going to hit up a couple different references as I've thought through worship. And so I'm going to jump through several different things. You might have to rewind on the podcast to catch all of them.
We'll
so
get
I apologize.
A lot of this in the show notes.
Great.
So you can find it later. So don't feel like you have to stop your car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for that, Anne. So something, I'm just going to start hitting up some things. So Acts 14, chapter 14, verse 1, we see that the gospel is being communicated. Mm-hmm. And the fascinating way that it's being communicated in this particular context is that it's being communicated to both Greeks and Jews mm-hmm. at the same time, which is pretty profound. So
yep.
Jews here represent maybe the religiously experienced.
Mm-hmm.
Greeks will represent the intellectual, potentially mm-hmm. the skeptic. I don't always mm-hmm. like labeling skeptics with intellectuals,
mm-hmm.
but two very different environments.
And I would say too, like with the Jews, like there's probably this internal language they all knew and understood.
Yeah.
So that's pretty remarkable that there was a worship gathering. They were both.
Somehow the gospel was able to be communicated in a way mm-hmm. that they both responded. And
mm-hmm.
that's Acts 14:1. Profound reality if you actually break it down.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to ask the question, what is worship?
Mm-hmm.
Worship very clearly defined in the book of Romans chapter 12, verse 1. It says this is out of the New Living Translation. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is the way to worship him. This is truly the way to worship him. So now we see what is worship.
Mm-hmm.
Worship is living for Jesus. So then what is the purpose of our gathering? We're going to focus on the gospel with the goal that people will respond to Jesus,
mm-hmm.
understanding that we are sending them out into a crazy world to live as Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And so... Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, I think the thing then that I hear you saying is for the person who's been following Christ for 60 years and the person who is sitting on the skeptic end,
mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean that a Christ follower of 60 years doesn't have doubt,
yeah.
but that there is a response that is required every time we gather.
Yes. Thank you for saying that. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
That is the goal. And I would say it's not even the same response.
Mm-hmm.
It is... What is the next way I can respond?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, living in holy sacrifice, if you understand what a sacrifice is biblically,
mm-hmm.
it was always with fire, okay? And it burned from the outside, and it made its way in deeper and deeper until all of a sudden, guess what happened to the sacrifice? It was gone. It was totally diminished. So this
mm-hmm.
idea of the sacrifice and this visual idea that we have is that the pain that we will have in life,
mm-hmm.
responding to that in saying, I'm not going to act like I shouldn't have pain. I'm going to embrace what it is that Jesus wants to do in my life with this pain
mm-hmm.
and burn away that layer of me,
mm-hmm.
burn away that layer of my... You know, there's a term we use in church world, flesh, the skin part of me, the carnal part of me, the
mm-hmm.
human part of me, that layer, next layer, burn it away. that mm-hmm. layer, next layer, burn it away. And then we're always responding to what is that next thing? Hmm. Because it's never ending.
Yeah.
Like literally once it ends is once we're dead.
Yep.
Period.
Yep. Yeah.
So.
And so then you use all of that that you just shared.
Yep.
To then get into the details of how then you plan a service.
Yeah. And I know
that in mind.
And that's a really like some of you that are listening might be like, okay, he doesn't really think about that all the way. But I want you, every single person to know we do.
Mm-hmm.
We try. I'll say that. We really do. We do try.
Yep.
To make sure, because like, and I want to also make it really clear, our songs are not our worship mm-hmm. until our lives are.
Hmm.
So it does not count as you showing up. You're not worshiping if what you're singing is not true.
Hmm.
Now, we're going to give great songs that help remind us that we are the like we are Christ's light shining in this world.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's profound. And to remind us of that and to challenge us and admonish us and put the word of Christ into these songs, into the overall gathering. But yeah, that's like the focus. So down to details, yes, you know, we're going to look at, we plan pretty far out in advance. Mm-hmm. You know, some of these questions about how do you make it so it's not the same every week? Well, we plan. Mm-hmm. I mean, we really believe in this. As you can see, we put great weight and significance mm-hmm. on our gatherings. That's because we know the gospel is being proclaimed. We see God changing people's hearts, mm-hmm. saving people's souls. So we plan in advance pretty far. You know, about 3 months in advance, I'll plan services side by side.
Okay.
We look at all the text that the biblical text that we're going to be preaching out of.
Mm-hmm.
We pray through that. We see what songs work well with the sermon, what songs work well with other songs. We try to be as creative as possible without being distracting. Again, mm-hmm. the one thing we want people to remember when they leave is only Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing that we want them to remember. So planning far in advance, screening songs, it's remembering that in our public gatherings, we have people out there, and it's our responsibility to make it so that both the Jews and the Greeks, those people that are religiously experienced and the people that are intellectual and maybe skeptical, that we can reach that mm-hmm. group of people. Mm-hmm. And so we want to make sure and remove any barriers. We want there to be any time that we're going to use a phrase or say something, we want to have a definition behind it. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't want to have some type of you know, Christianese.
Yeah, weird language that people
like
won't understand.
Someone's showing up. I mean, there are times people are showing up for the first time. They've never been to any church anywhere ever.
Mm-hmm.
It's our responsibility to make it like as reasonably welcoming as possible.
Right.
Now, the gospel itself is a stumbling block. We understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's up to God. But along mm-hmm. the way, boy, we sure better remove as many barriers as possible.
Unnecessary,
like
yeah.
defining the words you're using.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, I'm not saying weird,
yeah.
weird stuff.
So we try to be really, really intentional. So, you know, songs, I listen through songs for a couple months in advance. I have my team listening through those in advance mm-hmm. to kind of really pray through and think through, is this going to help us do what it is that we want to do? Does this focus on the gospel enough? Mm-hmm. Does it help us respond to the gospel mm-hmm. enough? So I got a Spotify playlist I'd love to share with you guys.
Awesome.
We can maybe include it in the show notes, yep. or somehow you guys can get that out. Mm-hmm. So you guys can listen to what I'm listening to mm-hmm. as I'm praying through.
Yeah, maybe. And your team, I'm guessing you guys are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome.
We listen through all that. And so we kind of all throw some different songs in there, see what might hit, and then where we want to implement it. Man, we really pray about these services a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, we plan them, mm-hmm. we pray through them, mm-hmm. we prepare for them, and I think that that's our responsibility.
Yeah.
And so we're going to do everything we possibly can do to then get out of the way so Jesus can do everything that only he can do.
Yep. And what I appreciate, too, is I feel like there's this sense with your whole team that no weekend is, like, wasted. Like,
yep.
That you guys know that every weekend is someone's very first time.
Yep.
Or maybe their first time to really hear it and respond to the gospel.
Yeah.
And so it's not like you guys are ever just like, well, here's, you know, B team weekend, so who
no.
cares? You know?
Yeah.
There's this sense of intentionality, of purpose behind
yeah.
every time you guys get up there and lead
yeah.
us.
I mean, this might be their last shot. That this might be, you know, every time I get up there and I tell my team this, and I know that, you know, my other guys share this as well, it might be our last shot to minister the gospel to someone, and it might be someone else's last shot to hear the gospel. And there's great urgency for that. I mean, tremendous urgency. Crazy stuff's happening in this world. There are people that woke up today that didn't know it was their last day. And so if for whatever reason they decided to show up at our gathering, man, we're going to take advantage of that. And we're going to set them up as best as possible to hear the truth and the hope of the gospel that they will not get anywhere else. It's the real deal. So yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, for sure. I wanted to do something a little bit fun for this podcast,
Sweet.
If you don't mind.
I would love it.
As I've mentioned several times, our services, our gatherings, I prefer to call them gatherings and services. Services sounds kind of weird, but in our gatherings, it's always about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And then it's only about Jesus. So I'm really setting myself up. We have a new song that we wrote. We're planning on introducing it maybe in like July.
We
spent some time writing together recently. And so this song is called Only Jesus.
Awesome.
So I would love to
play it
for
Sweet.
You.
Is there anywhere too that people can hear the other songs that you guys have introduced and written?
Not yet. We're
okay.
working through kind of our creative processes on how to get that accessible. We are working on it, I promise you guys.
No, I just wanted to ask the question I know people will ask. So great.
I mean, people are walking up to me regularly and saying, how do we do this? And so we're trying to think of the most intentional and strategic way to package that in a way that can be beneficial to the church. We just want to make sure that we're really thinking it through. So yes, they will be eventually accessible.
But
to
not
people.
Right now.
Not yet. Not yet.
Great.
And to put a little bit of a timeline on it, probably not till next year because we want to make sure and do it well. But so this song's called Only Jesus. We're going to probably be singing it, hopefully, in our gatherings in July. So grab my guitar here.
Great. Little concert.
I think gotta get a little bit tuned up. This lack of humidity in here is modifying my tune.
Sorry, we'll work on
you
that.
You sing, Anne. I forgot about that.
Well, just show choir days, you know.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
And dance and tap. No, I'm just kidding. That's been a long time.
Did you actually do tap?
Yeah.
Okay. Don't be no shame. Yeah.
Right. Why did I just tell you that I tap? That's weird.
I mean, you said show choir and then you wanted to dancing and then you wanted to tap. Cool. So this song is called Only Jesus. Am I good on my level, by the way? Like kind of like right here. I know. I'm sure it'll be great. So this is called Only Jesus. There's only one hope that is strong enough to sustain us, an anchor for our souls. Only Jesus, only Jesus. There's only one grace that forgives our sin. There is mercy and love that never ends. Only Jesus, only Jesus. Jesus, there is no one greater, lifted high above all others. No name has the power to save. There's only one life full of joy and peace. There is freedom and we'll forever sing. Only Jesus, only Jesus. Oh, Jesus. There is no one greater, lifted high above all others. No name has the power to save but Jesus. Jesus, there is no one greater, lifted
high above all others. No name has the power to save but Jesus. All we are and with all we bring, let our whole life point to the name of Jesus. 'Cause no one else ever gave their crown to die and save all of us for love but Jesus. And at his name every knee will bow, the world will see and will know our God is Jesus, Jesus. All we are and with all we bring, let our whole life point to the name of Jesus. 'Cause no one else ever gave their crowns to die save all of us for love but Jesus, Jesus. And at his name every knee will bow, the world will see and will know our God is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Awesome.
Thank you.
That was beautiful.
Oh, that was so fun to be able to do that.
That was great.